Chapter 11. Anakin watched the distant dots buzzing around the crash site. They'd been there for hours, but in the last few minutes they'd been leaving one by one. He felt a constriction in his belly. If he had one of those flyers, he could get back to the temple and find Tahiri. And do what? Leave Valen and Sana with Ven and a sky full of flitters? Try to drag them all along on another aerial battle and then a rescue? No. He couldn't pin all of their hopes on that. He felt a tremor in the tree, and his hand went to his lightsaber. But then he felt Valen, below him, climbing up. The younger boy reached him and settled in the crotch between two branches. As he watched, the last of the flitters seemed to be moving off. "You should have stayed in the cave," Anakin told Valen. "Maybe," Valen replied. "But I didn't." He nodded at the departing craft. "I thought they would search longer," he said. Anakin shook his head. 2 days is longer than I thought they would give it. They're after the bigger prize, the rest of the students. They've got a time limit, remember? When the Yuuzhan Vong show up, they've got to be successful or gone. The last thing the Peace Brigade would want the Vong to know is that they were the ones who spoiled their motherlode. He motioned down. "Get back in the cave, though. They might make a last-minute sweep." "Anakin, why did the Yuuzhan Vong want us so bad?" Anakin blew out a breath. "I'm not sure. Mostly because they hate us. The fact that they don't seem to exist in the Force cuts both ways. We can't sense them or affect them directly, but we can do things they can't understand. And we're the ones who have hurt them most. I guess the last stroke was when Jason humiliated their War Master." "But those guys with Ven weren't Yuuzhan Vong." "No, they're worse. They think by turning us in, they'll get the Yuuzhan Vong to stop their conquest at the planets they have. Will they?" Anakin snorted. Senator Alegos Akla turned himself over to them. He hoped he could come to understand them, forge a common bond of trust, something to begin the process of finding a peaceful solution. "They killed him," Valen said quietly. "I heard about that, and sent his polished bones back to us. But then my dad killed the Yuuzhan Vong who killed Alegos." Anakin hesitated. He hadn't thought through where his example might lead. "Yeah," he said briefly. "But now everyone hates my dad and not the Yuuzhan Vong." Anakin shook his head. "No, it's not like that. It's just... it's politics, Valen." "What does that mean?" "I don't know. I hate politics. Ask my brother next time you see him, or my mom." "But what it means," Anakin interrupted, "is that your father, Corran Horn, is a good man. And everyone, with even a little sense, knows that. The problem with people is that a lot of them don't have any sense, and a lot of others are liars." "You mean they would say my dad was bad, even if they didn't think so?" "You got it, kid." "I'm not a kid." Anakin looked into the determined young face, and suddenly saw what Cam, Tion, Uncle Luke, Aunt Mara, all the adults in his life, must be used to seeing by now on his face. "Maybe not," Anakin replied. "But here's what I was trying to get around to saying a minute ago. The Yuuzhan Vong have never shown the slightest tendency to keep their word. I don't think they even believe lying is wrong. And Alegos, well, it was a worthy try, and I honor him. But what the Yuuzhan Vong want from us is our worlds and our people as slaves. They believe our machines are abominations, and they won't rest until they've all been destroyed. The only way to avoid fighting them is to surrender and let them do whatever they want with us. That's the only terms of peace they can understand. The Peace Brigade think they can do something in between. Alegos was brave, noble, and wrong. It cost him his life, and that was his to spend. The Peace Brigade are cowards, and they're stupid, and they want to spend our lives. Our lives are not for them to spend." Valen nodded, then smiled a little. You talk more than you used to. Tahiri said she would rub off on you eventually. It struck Anakin that Valen was right. He'd been practically pontificating, something he wouldn't have dreamed of doing a few years ago, except maybe in an argument with his siblings or Tahiri. It was something he wasn't good at, didn't like, avoided like raw cobalt. His father had once joked that it was easier to drag a neutron star with a land speeder than it was to drag two words out of him. But more and more, people seemed to want something like this from him. Some of the things he had done had gotten around, and he guessed he had something of a reputation. That part was fine, and though he wouldn't say so out loud, he sort of liked it. It made him feel that he could be like Uncle Luke, back when he was young and fighting the Empire. Like a hero, though he knew he wasn't really that. He felt a pang, and suddenly knew where these thoughts were taking him. "Why did you and Sana and Tahiri come to help me, Valen? Why didn't you go with Cam and Teon?" Valen looked up at him with guileless eyes. "We want to be like you, Anakin. We all do. And you would never have run from a fight." Anakin's lips tightened and his eyes felt gritty and hot. That settled that. He'd lied when he told Sana and Valen that the Yuuzhan Vong and the Peace Brigade were responsible for this mess. Like Chewie's death, like Centerpoint, this was his mess, Anakin Solo's mess. But this time, he would clean it up. Somehow.
"Doesn't look like they took much," Sana observed, as they picked through the wreck of Ven's transport. 4 days had come and gone since the crash, and a day since they had seen the last of the flitters.
"Why should they?" Valen asked. "There's not much left they would want." "No," Anakin said. "There's plenty. It would have taken too much time to salvage it, that's all."
"But you think you can?"
Ven sneered from where he sat, cuffed hands resting on his knees. "I can fix it," Anakin replied. "The hyperdrive is fine."
"That's great. We'll just go to light speed from here. At least no one would have to worry about disposing of our remains. And we sure wouldn't have to worry about the Vong anymore."
"If Anakin says he can fix it, he can fix it," Valen snapped.
"Shut up, you smelly little hut,"
Ven grunted.
"I may be your prisoner, but that doesn't mean I have to listen to your smart mouth all day. Hey, ow!"
Ven was suddenly scratching furiously at his legs, then thrashing on the ground. Anakin straightened.
"Stay away from him. It's a trick."
"Trick?" Ven screamed. "I'm being eaten alive." That's when Anakin noticed Valen was laughing. So was Sana, but she was hiding hers behind her palm.
"Valen, are you doing that? He deserved it.
Stop it. Right now. Immediately.
Now."
"Yes, sir," Valen said. And he didn't sound sarcastic. Anakin knelt by Ven. A swarm of multi-segmented worms a centimeter in length were detaching themselves from the pilot's arms and face, leaving purplish welts behind. Ven pushed at them frantically, but when Anakin moved to help him, he jerked away with a hoarse rasp of anger. When they were all finally off, Ven turned his head toward Valen. His chest was heaving.
"You did that, didn't you? With some kind of Jedi magic."
He rose clumsily to his feet. "I hope the Vong do get you. The whole lot of you."
"Yeah?"
Valen started. "Well, Valen," Anakin said a little sharply. "Keep quiet and listen. You know better than that. I know you know better than that, because we had the same teachers." He turned on Sana.
"And you were laughing. You think it's funny to use the Force to torture a helpless captive for no better reason than that he called you a name?"
Sana reddened.
"No," she said. "Valen?"
"No," the boy said.
"I guess not."
"There are times to use the Force in self-defense, Valen, and there are times when defense means attack. And if I have to squeeze Ven's brain to learn what we need to rescue Tahiri, I might even do that.
But torture for the sake of torture? Never. Valin nodded and sat down. To Anakin's surprise, Valin didn't look so much sullen as reflective. In fact, like a flash, for an instant, he looked almost impossibly like his father, Corrin. It was so bright and true that Anakin wondered if it was a real vision of an older Valin or just a striking resemblance. He cleared his throat. "Let's just get to work, shall we? The engines aren't as bad as they could be. I think with parts salvaged from the other ships we can get it limping, and that's all I need. A way to orbit. At the very least, we can get the comm unit fixed." Anakin actually had his doubts about this, but it would give them something to do while he figured out how he was going to get halfway around the moon to find Tahiri. If they were occupied, they wouldn't worry as much. Meanwhile, Talon Card must have arrived by now. And Tahiri, she was still here, and he was pretty sure she was even still on Yavin 4, not in orbit. Still, it galled him. It made his very bones ache not to set off on foot, though in his head he knew that it would take him months to cross the wilderness separating him from the great temple. Maybe he needed the work as much as Valin and Sana. With a sigh, he went to see what the power cell couplings looked like. Something beeped and whistled. His hand was already on his lightsaber before he realized the sound was coming from his wrist comm. He was being hailed. He stared at the comm for a moment. It could be a trick by the Peace Brigade, an attempt to triangulate his location. It might be Talon Card, trying to find them. Reluctantly, he acknowledged, and words began to scroll across the display. Pursuit evaded. X-wing badly damaged. Awaiting further instructions. Fiver. Affirmative. Fiver, lock on this signal and come straight here. Where are you? 252.6 kilometers from your present position. Great. How long will it take you to get here? 20 standard hours. What? Why? Repulsor lift motivation only. Ship badly damaged. But you're okay? Operational. Good. Good going, Fiver. Get here as soon as you can. We need you. Affirmative, Anakin. Anakin? Despite everything, Anakin grinned. The astromech hadn't been memory-wiped lately. He was starting to develop a few quirks. Flying the X-5 X-Wing alone, a task Fiver wasn't really built for, had probably contributed. In fact, Anakin couldn't believe the little droid had really done it. He'd thought he was sacrificing his ship and Fiver as a diversion. Finding that it hadn't worked out that way was an unexpected break. He now not only had more parts to work with, but an astromech droid to help with repairs. Things weren't exactly looking up, Anakin thought, but maybe he could take his eyes off his feet, at least.